We're going in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 this morning. Starting with verse number 12 there, let's read. It says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. And last verse, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." We can stop there this morning. I've been just listening to the news and the current events that's going on all around us today, and really seeing, I guess, what people are searching after, looking for, longing for. And the tension that's really present all throughout the world and in our land as well. And I was just, as I look around, you see it on the news, and you see, you know, all the protests and all the even the violence, and often things escalate to where really volatile, bad situations. And a man that really desire, I guess we could say, they want peace in a sense. Might be being generous there. But it's fleeting. Our world, our nation has looked for answers and has looked for improvements in different venues, different avenues. We've looked at it through education. That's what the answer is. We just need better education. We need to be more educated people, and then all our problems would disappear. We just all need to go to college. We all need a degree, or we need a PhD or a DD or some kind of degree. That surely that will do it. But we're finding that when you educate wicked people, you just get educated wicked people. We're finding that things that really maybe not unheard of, but not nearly as common as what it is today, when you find people, teachers, bosses, whatever, leaders in positions of authority, positions of power, and they abuse it, they misuse it. It's hard to really turn the news on at any time, and really a week doesn't go by where you hear of some educated teacher doing really ungodly things, and it just seems like it's on the news every day. Well, these people are educated. These people, so that's not the answer. We've kind of decided that. I heard someone say it this way: if you educate a thief, instead of stealing a bolt, he'll steal the whole train. And that's probably the way it is, really. So we've kind of figured out that the education is not the problem, or it's not the answer. And we've looked at it through, well, we need to just all kind of hold hands and get along, and surely that'll do it. We'll sit around a campfire and play a banjo and sing Kumbaya, and then that'll do it. That'll do it for us. Well, we found out that wasn't it. Let's all just get together and And we'll just, so many ways we look. And I've been looking at this and thinking about this over the last few weeks, and I thought, God, thank you for the family of God. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that, you know, if we're looking to escape racism, how many of us that should not be present in the house of God? If we're looking to escape division and strife and pride and haughtiness, what we're going to find is that what the world's really looking for, whether they want to admit it or not, is the body of Christ. What we're really searching after and what they're trying to strive and find in other ways, and you know, we want this, but yet leave your God out of it. You know, we'd like to have, you know, this part of it, but don't talk about Jesus. And I don't want to come across in, you know, negative this morning and try to, you know, seem like I'm just kind of being pessimistic, but I actually want to come off with a positive note, and that is this, that I'm glad to be part of a sheepfold. And that's my topic. I want to talk about life in the fold. I want to talk about what it means to live a life, first off, of course, pleasing to God, and that is really our ultimate desire, and we've seen that over and over throughout the scripture, that it is our desire to please the one that calls us to be a soldier. I mean, that we want to please the Father, the one that kind of called us out of this system, out of this world. And we're here in 1 Thessalonians because really Paul's very direct instruction to us is really just describing life in the fold and how we ought to live, how we ought to behave, how we ought to treat one another. He starts off this passage, I beseech you, brethren. And then it says it again later on in verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren. And so what we're really talking about here this morning is family matters, right? We're talking about the family of God. We're talking about we that have been called together from all different areas. You know, we may not have ever come together. We probably, there's some of us here, you know, just maybe not a big number of us, but yet there's diversity. There's, you know, we have our own little realm. We have our own little realms of influence. And there may have not been anything that ever brought us together. We may not have ever become close. We may have never become friends. But here we are, and we've come to the foot of the cross, and we've all kind of come together from different areas. And here we are. Jesus has brought us together. We've been brought together through the name. Ephesians 3 says it this way, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Amen. How many knows we've come together, the whole family have come together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've come together in heaven and in earth. We've come together no matter where our realm was, where our people were. Now here we are, no matter our race, no matter, you know, whether we're male or female, whatever it is, here we are in the fold. Here we are together. He says the same word over here in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 9. He says, but as touching brotherly love. So we're talking about brothers, and I will add, and I feel comfortable doing this, brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're talking about our family of God that really what brings us together, that we're the instruction, we're called to love, we're called to comfort, we're called to edify one another, and we've come into this sheepfold. We've come into the fold. And there's a structure in the fold. I mean, God has given us a structure. And we're going to look at that a little bit here this morning. But one thing we've got to keep in mind is that we are part of the sheepfold. And is the picture up? Is there a picture there? That's a picture of a fold. That's a picture of a sheepfold. It looks like a tomb. Shell thought it was a tomb. I said, here, Shell, put this picture up. And she put it up, and she goes, well, why are you putting a tomb up when you're talking about a sheepfold? I said, well, that's not a tomb. That's a sheepfold. And I'm not an expert in sheep. And really, if you listen around today, there's a lot of talk about sheep. There's a lot of talk about not being a sheep. You hear it on the news media. You hear it on the TV. Don't be a sheep. And so I guess why that people don't want you being a sheep. I guess their idea when you're a sheep, it's like you're being dragged around and being influenced by the media and the news, and you're basically just like a sheep, and you're going around and you're just being led like a sheep. And so their argument is, don't be a sheep. But here's the problem with that. We're all sheep. The question is, who's leading us? So even though, yeah, it may have somehow developed over the last little bit a negative connotation when they say, well, just don't be sheep. In reality, we're all sheep. And we're being led. Isaiah says it this way, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But he doesn't stop there and says, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. But the point is, we've all gone like sheep. What does it mean to go about like sheep? Well, they're just led astray. They're just going in any direction. They just go in any way. They don't, if they're thirsty, they really don't seem to. I mean, I've never raised a sheep. Maybe some of you have, so I don't have a lot of experience about a sheep. But what little bit I do have, they just, you know, they're not that impressive. They just seem like they just kind of, I can remember growing up, and I've shared this before. I don't know if I've shared it with you guys before or not, but I can remember growing up, and of course we lived in Shenandoah, and we went to church at Grottoes, and so we went to church on, I've told it before, we went to church Wednesday night, we went to church Saturday night, we went to church Sunday morning, and we went to church Sunday night. I spent a lot of time in church, and there was about a half hour drive between Shenandoah and Grottoes. And we had to make that drive. And as a kid, I'd sit in the back seat of that car many a night with my head against the window, just looking at the fields. And there was a certain field that we passed that many times every week. And there were those sheep out there. Somebody were raising sheep. And it was a lot of them. I never had the chance to count them. You know, when you're going 55 miles an hour down the road, you don't get the chance to count sheep. But I seen them over there, and I would always just see them just in the big pile. Just big piles of sheep, just big groups of sheep. I guess it'd be a flock. And there's this flock of sheep out there in this field. And it didn't matter. You know, they were just kind of wandering around this field. And I can remember there'd be times when we'd ride by and it'd be a thunderstorm or something. And I'd see this big pile of sheep. And there the sheep would be gathered together. And you know where they'd be? Under a tree. Now, I don't know a whole lot, but I do know a little bit about lightning. I know that under a tree, it's not the best place to be when a thunderstorm hits. Well, I'd look out the field, and there'd be these sheep, and they'd be under that tree. And I'm thinking, one good hit, and that we're having mutton, you know, lamb chops for dinner tonight. But there they would be. And what they would need someone to lead them into a place of safety. And so that's, I just shared with you the extent of my knowledge of sheep. But, you know, here, and especially throughout the Gospels, that term sheep is used in many, many places, and it's basically just referencing mankind. And so whether we like it or not, we don't like to be identified as sheep. The truth is, we are sheep, and we need a shepherd. We need guidance. We need someone to lead us. Look what Jesus said over here. Go ahead and put a bookmark there in 1 Thessalonians. I don't know, more kind of setting the trying to lay out the setting here this morning, and probably won't get too far there in 1 Thessalonians 5. We'll probably get hopefully through a few of those verses. But look what Jesus did when he was one day looking out over the city there in Jerusalem. And it says here in Matthew chapter 9, let's just start with verse 35 there. It says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, it says, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. It says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. As Jesus went about there in the land and he was laying hands on the sick and he was healing, matter of fact, it says here that he was healing every sickness and every disease among the people. I heard a preacher saying it the other day. I don't remember what the text was, but he says during the life of Christ, during his time when he was on this earth, Jesus almost eradicated sickness from the land of Jerusalem. And when I read this, I can almost see that. Because it says here that he went about healing every sickness and every disease. Now, I'm smart enough to know that, you know, not everyone was probably healed that was sick there in the land, but there was definitely a great healing service that was taking place during his time and during his ministry. As a matter of fact, John says it this way, and we've looked at this before in reference to the healings and the miracles that Jesus did, and you can probably quote the verse for me this morning, but it says, many miracles did Jesus, and many that are recorded. He said, but many he did that are not recorded. So there's a lot that Jesus did. Now, I'm not, you know, up here preaching, well, he went and visited this group over here, like you hear a lot of people say, well, he went over here and he gave them a new revelation. I'm not saying that, but there's a whole lot that Jesus did that we don't have recorded. But John says what? But these are written that you might believe. Amen? So we've been given enough evidence to know that these are written that you might believe. That there were many that were sick for the sole purpose that Jesus would heal them. There was one that was born blind that his disciples said, oh Lord, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? And Jesus said what? Neither, but that the Son of God, but that God might be glorified in him, that he would be healed. He was the whole purpose for his blindness, that what Jesus would say, go wash and be healed. See, many miracles he did. Well, here he is doing many miracles, healing sickness and disease among the people. And he looked and he saw the multitude and he said he had compassion on them because they fainted. What does it mean to faint? It means, yeah, just give up. They were losing heart. They were losing hope. Didn't have any hope. Going about just wandering around. No direction. No shepherd. Now, I won't go too far into this morning, but I do want to just maybe briefly skim through the chapter just because we've looked at it before. But this that takes place over here in Matthew really is the same thing that Ezekiel talked about over there in Ezekiel chapter number 34, and this prophecy that was given so many hundreds of years before Christ ever even came on the scene as far as in the flesh. But look it over in Ezekiel 34. Here's really a word of prophecy against the shepherd of Israel, or the shepherds, let's say, of Israel. And I'll just kind of skim through here and maybe pick out a few verses. Well, look at verse 5 there of Ezekiel 34. It says, and they were scattered. They were scattered because there is no shepherd. It says, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. It said, my sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. So a sheep without a shepherd is easy prey, right? They become, as the prophet says here, they become meat for the beast of the field. They have no protection from the wolves or from whatever beast might, you know, decide that he wants to prey upon these animals. And so they were scattered. He says, my sheep scattered through all the mountains and every high hill. Yeah, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. So there was no one that was trying to to go rescue these sheep and bring them back together. Look down at verse number 11 there. He says, "For thus saith the Lord God, behold I," amen, "even I will both search my sheep and seek them out." Amen. Doesn't that just stir your heart this morning? Think about that. Here you got scattered sheep on the hillside, easy prey, and God speaks to the prophet Ezekiel, says, "I'm going to search them out." He said, even I. He says, "As a shepherd seeketh out his flock on the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day." He says, "I will seek them out." He says, "I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture." Be thankful for good pasture this morning. "And upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment." So here we have this picture of this shepherd. God says, "I am the shepherd. I am going to seek my sheep. I will seek them out." Look at the end of verse 20. "Therefore thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle." It says, "Because ye have thrust with side and with shoulder, and pushed all the diseased with your horns till ye have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I seek my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle." Listen, "and I will set one shepherd." "And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them." Who is this one shepherd? "Even my servant David." What? David. David's been gone for some time now, as these words were given by the prophet Ezekiel. Who is this servant David that he speaks of? And it says, "And he shall feed them. He shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David, a prince among them, I, the Lord, have spoken it." Amen. "I, the Lord, have spoken it." We need a shepherd. And we need one that will seek out. He says, "I will seek that which is lost." I mean, what greater picture of our Lord than that of one that goes out and seeks the sheep? Man, one that goes out and seeks the lost. The prophet Ezekiel here talks about those that would take their horns and push away or push out the disease, the sickly. And so, you know, it's just the thought of taking this poor diseased sheep and pushing them out to the wolves and scattering them abroad. And here God says, "I'm going to set one shepherd over them, and he's going to seek out the lost. He's going to seek out those that are scattered abroad." Now, obviously, we can't this morning talk about this whole idea of fold and shepherd without going to John chapter 10. I know you were already thinking that, and I agree with you. We need to go to John chapter number 10 and look at that this morning, because here is where our Lord talks about a fold. Immediately, right from the very first of this chapter, very first part of this chapter, he talks about a fold. He talks about a door to the fold. And he talks about the shepherd of the fold. And, like I say, you know, what little bit I know about sheepfolds, the picture that's on the wall there, there was always an opening, obviously, that was part of the sheepfold that would be left open in some manner that had to be blocked during the night to keep the sheep from wandering out. A sheepfold could be, most of the time, was probably set up in the wilderness. You know, when we get an idea of a sheepfold, we might think of something, you know, in a barn setting or something, you know, more permanent. But as often the case, when you're in a wilderness place or you're in the pasture, especially during that time, it would be necessary to sometime construct a sheepfold. And a lot of times it was made from a natural setting that was already there that maybe didn't require as much work to close it off the rest of the way. And that kind of what it looks like in that picture, that there's some type of little cave there, and the rocks were piled up to make part for the fence that was already open, and then there was a doorway there that where the sheep would go in and out through that doorway. And so here in John chapter number 10, where Jesus talks about this, he says, "Verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." So there's only one way into the sheepfold, right? If you come in through this way, if you're going to enter into this fold, you must come through the door. Must come through the door. There is no other way to enter in. If you would see someone, I've told this story before. I don't think it was here, but I can remember one time when I was up at my sister's house. We were up there for Thanksgiving, celebrating Thanksgiving. And Chell and I were walking with my sister through the town of Shenandoah. I always like to walk there, kind of look back and reminisce of my childhood there in the small town of Shenandoah. And we go up and down the hills. And we were walking through the town there. And I came back early. They kept walking. And so I came back to the house. And my sister's house there, well, they've got a security system. And this security system, it's a good one. I mean, I got there. I thought someone was going to be there. Well, there was no one there. And there I am. And I'm thinking, you know, I need to get in because my keys were in there. I couldn't get home. And I didn't know how long they were going to be. So here I am trying to get in this house. And it was really cold that day. I do remember that. And so I had sweatpants on and a hoodie. And I had the hoodie up and I had the thing locked or you know, tied up tight. And here I am. And I would expect I looked a little bit suspicious. So I'm trying to go around their house and get in. I'm looking for a window or something. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, wait a minute, this thing's got an alarm. They had been robbed or broken into not long before that. And so they had decided they were going to put an alarm system in their house. And it just dawned on me, there's an alarm system here. And if I keep fooling around, this alarm system's going off and I look a little sketchy anyway. So I'm going to end up spending Thanksgiving in jail. And I didn't want to do that. So I just said, you know, I'm just going to have to bite the bullet here. And I went to the front porch and I sat down there and I waited. Why? Because if I'd have went and tried to get into that house in any other way than through the front door, I would have been considered a thief and a robber. And so here, after so long, after I'm sitting there, here they come back from their walk and they sitting there and they see me sitting on the front porch and they, of course, get a good laugh out of it. And my sister walks up to the house and she hits a couple buttons and opens that door and goes right in. I'm like, well, that surely seemed easy. Why? Because she had the authority to get into the house because she knew the code. She knew how to get in. And, you know, when you think about this door, that what it talks about that if anyone comes up any other way but through the door, the same, he says here, is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And so really when we think about who's the shepherd of the sheep, well, it's Jesus Christ. And so if Christ was going to show to this world that he was the shepherd of the sheep, there were some doors that he would have to come through. Say, well, what's that door? Well, the prophets give us the doors. The prophets laid out how the Messiah was going to come. They laid out what was going to take place. They laid out the fact that he was going to be born in Bethlehem. They laid out that he was going to come in a certain time. He was going to come to a certain people. They laid out the fact that when he come, he was going to basically set the captive free. He was going to lay hands on the sick. He was going to seek after those that we just read about, those lost sheep. And along comes Jesus, and he had the authority and the power to basically heal the sick that we just read. He healed all manners of diseases. And so he had the authority that when he comes, he says, I'm the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. Well, as he would say those things, you know what he would do? He'd go out and search for a sheep. He says, I'm the good shepherd. Well, here it says here that to him the porter openeth. To who? To the true shepherd. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. All right, so he's leading the sheep out of this fold. He's come through the door. He's fulfilled all manner of righteousness. He is the good shepherd. He's calling for the sheep that are in that fold to come out. Well, I don't want to come out of the fold. Well, maybe we're just, what we're looking at here might not be that one fold. But here he's calling out the sheep that are in this fold. He says, I'll call them and leadeth them out. And it says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And in verse 6 says, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. So he goes farther. He says, I'm the shepherd. I've come through the porter. The porter has opened me. He says, verily I say unto you, I am the door. Wow. So here we have the shepherd. But then he says, I am the door. The door to what? The door to a fold. I am the door. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. Well, how did he identify thieves and robbers? Those that come up any other way than through the door. He says, all that came before me are thieves and robbers. So they're identified by what? By creeping around with their hoods on, trying to get through a window. A thief and a robber cannot come and open a door with a key or with an access code or whatever and enter in. He's got to come up some other way. And so here we find where Jesus says, all that came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Think of what the psalmist wrote. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. The Lord. I'm glad to be a sheep. I will fully admit this morning, without any type of hesitation at all, that I'm a sheep. And I need a shepherd. That I need a leading. The only difference between me now and when I was a lost sheep is I'm a saved sheep. But I'm still a sheep. I still need the good shepherd. I still need the direction from the Lord. I still need to call on God and say, Lord, lead us. Father, help us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for leading us to green pastures. Thank you. And here's the difference between us and those outside the fold is that we've been brought unto green pastures, a place where we're fed, a place where we're nourished up by the good shepherd because he cares for us. He went out and sought after us, and he brought us in to the one fold. I mean, the one fold. I don't know why I did this morning, but I did it anyway. I went on Google and Googled how not to be a sheep. I knew it was a negative thing. So here's how not to be a sheep. I found this on WikiHow. Don't look it up. But anyway, this is how not to be a sheep. Here's number one way of not to be a sheep. Realize you don't have to fit in. There's great advice. Here's number two. Show your true colors. Number three, be who you want to be. Here's number four, do what you want to do. This is how not to be a sheep. Number five, stop caring about what people think about you. Here's number six, listen to whatever music you like. So don't want to be a sheep. This is great advice right here. It says number seven, dress how you like. Here's number eight. Forget about stereotypes and be who you are. Here's number nine. This is a good one. Hold on. Get your pen out. Y'all want to write this down. How not to be a sheep. Be weird. This is WikiHow. This is good stuff. I tell you, you don't get this. This was free. I didn't pay for it. But anyway, here's number 10. Love yourself. So what kind of speaks out to you there if you won't want to be sheep? It's you. And this is the message that the world's getting. Just be you. Be who you want to be. Be who you think you are. Do your own thing. Listen to what you want to listen to. But see, you know what the Bible tells you? You're a sheep, whether you like it or not, but follow the good shepherd. Amen? They went so far and they got into a description on some of these, and some of it is, you know, get together with a bunch of your friends together and take your skirts and put it on your head and put your shirt on your legs and go out, no kid, and go out and go to Starbucks and get you a vanilla latte and have a good time. That's how not to be a sheep. That will work. You guys do that. That'll solve every problem you ever had. I'm no longer a sheep. Is that not the most ridiculous thing you ever heard? But that's what Google said of how not to be a sheep. Well, Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. Forget about you. See, that's the problem. The problem is you. I've said this many times. I'll continue to say it. And this is where the world misses out. In reality, the problem is inside you. And you're not going to find the answer looking within you or trying to be you or, you know, putting a skirt on your head and your shirt on your legs. And that's not going to work. The answer is outside of you. And the answer is following the good shepherd. Hear his voice. Does my sheep hear my voice? And a stranger, they will not follow. Look what he says, verse 11. He says, we better read verse 10, because we already decide who's the thief. The thief is the ones that come up any other way. He says, I'm a door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. He said, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am come for this purpose, that they might have life. So the thief comes to kill, to steal, destroy. Look what he says, verse 11. I've got this highlighted in my Bible. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And if there was anyone within hearing distance there when Jesus spoke these words, their mind had to go back. If they knew their scripture, it would have went back to Ezekiel when God was speaking through the prophet and he says, my servant David, I will send my servant David and he will come and he will lead. And here is Jesus that says, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the one that Ezekiel prophesied of. I'm the one that was to come and seek after and search for the sheep. When he looked out over Jerusalem and he was grieved because they wandered about as sheep without a shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, but he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd whose own the sheep are not, seeing the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine. And the Father knoweth me, even so how I know I the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And listen, here it is, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So we've got this fold over here. We've got Jesus entering in to that fold through the door, through the authority, through the fulfilling of the word of God, through the prophets. He came doing exactly what he was to do. He was under, had the authority, had the power. He calls his sheep from that fold. They come forth. And here he says, I've got other sheep that are not of this fold. And so he's saying, I'm going to go to this fold. I'm going to call out my sheep. I'm going to this fold. I'm going to call out my sheep. And I'm going to take those sheep and I'm putting them all in to one fold and one shepherd. And that's why this morning, when we are thinking about our life with God, when we're thinking about where we what we have here today, and as we look through these few verses here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, and we see where the life in the fold. And I know I'm not alone in this morning when I say, I'm glad to be living in the fold. I'm glad to know that I have the one good shepherd. And you know what? He cares for us. And he directs us. And as Marion was already saying this morning, in regards to the love of Christ, that just as Ezekiel prophesied as well, he says, I come to search out the lost sheep, but I also come to bring judgment. Amen? We know God's in control. Man, that the same Christ that gives life is also the same one that can bring judgment upon the world. I was listening this week. I'll tell this in closing this morning. We are going to get into 1 Thessalonians 5. I didn't really expect us to get too far into it, but I just want you to see that that is our text from this morning. But I was listening to I don't even remember how I ran across it now, but with regards to all that's going on in our land, you know, the hurricanes and all that we see going on, you hear a lot of different things. Why does this happen? Why does that happen? And who's in control of this? Who's in control of that? And somehow or another, I ran across a quick video by Kirk Cameron. Everybody know who Kirk Cameron is? He was it when I was a kid. I remember my sisters were big fans of Kirk Cameron. They had a poster of him up in their bedroom, and he was a big star of the show Growing Pains when I was coming up. Well, now, I mean, I've heard him speak out on several occasions, and I've really been impressed with a lot of things that he says. And he did like a quick video. He was coming out of Florida, I guess it was this week, and he did a quick video, and in that video, he was talking about, you know, all the destruction that was going on and people saying different things to him. And his point was this: God's in control. God is in control. God's in control of the hurricane. And he gave a really good biblical perspective. And he was pulling from Job chapter number 37. And I'll just share it with you real quick this morning. And I've read it a few times this week. And it really does just kind of brings everything into perspective. And I'm in Job chapter number 37. And it says this in verse 10. It says, by the breath of God, frost is given, and the breath of the waters is straightened. Also, by watering, he wearieth the thick cloud. Well, basically, he fills up the clouds. Until when? Until they overfill. It says, he scattereth his bright cloud. Verse 12, and it says, and it is turned around about by his counsel. Turned around. It says that they may do whatsoever he commandeth them upon the face of the world in the earth. He causeth it to come, whether for correction or for his land, or for his mercy. Amen. Who's in control this morning? Now, you and I, you know, if we stand up and shout this out to those that we come in contact with every day, they're going to look at you, many of them, maybe not all of them, they're going to look at you like you're crazy. Because you know what we're saying? We're saying that God's in control of the hurricane. They can call it Irma, they can call it whoever, Hazel, whatever they are. God's in control. And he turns it whithersoever will. Here, I think it's Elihu that's speaking, and he had some good counsel. He gives three reasons, and this doesn't change. He said he sends it what? For correction? He sends it for the land, or he sends it for mercy. Now, there was a movie star that came out this week and said the reason all these hurricanes was hit because Mother Nature was mad because Donald Trump was elected president. Now, she can say that, but if you and I would stand up and say, no, it's not Mother Nature, it's actually God, and he's in control, and he's turning it whithersoever he will, And, you know, when it comes right down to it, if it's for correction, I mean, I can't say. I don't know. If it's for the land, we need rain, right? Thank God for rain. And for his mercy, many places throughout Old Testament scripture where God says, if my people will obey me, I will do this. I will send the rain. I will send, you know, I will do all these things. You know, God's still in control, right? Amen. He didn't, a lot of times, you know, I know we've said it before, but he didn't get to the book of Malachi and just decided he didn't like who he was and just changed everything. You know, he just said, well, you know, I'm going to do better. No, he says, I'm the Lord. I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm not, I can't stand up and say why this happens or why that happens. But one thing I can say is that God is in control. And even if it makes us look crazy, I'll tell you what, I know it to be true. I'm thankful for God's word. Thankful for what he does. Thankful for his healing power. But I know I'm not alone when I say this morning. If he never did another thing, if he never healed me again, it ain't like I'm going to get. I'll be honest with you, I don't believe and have faith in God because he's done all these things for me. Now, he's done a lot for me. Don't get me wrong. Shell just shared that testimony. I mean, I'm thankful for that. But I believed God before he did that. I believe that I knew that there was one true God long before he ever healed me. Or why? He's God. I serve him because he's God. I serve him because he is in control. And I also know that one day I will stand before him. And I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of heaven. Don't you want to hear those words? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, today. Thank you for that fold. I thank you for calling us out, Lord, and calling us in. Thank you, Lord, for leading us in green pastures. Lord, thank you, Lord, for waters, Lord, to drink from. Thank you for the wonderful stream, God, that we've, Lord, experienced here this morning, God, as we've gathered together with fellow sheep, Lord, with those, Lord, that are in your fold, God, we're thankful for that. And, Lord, we feel refreshed, God. We feel nourished, Lord God. And as we look at this life in the fold, God, we ask your blessings upon our study. Lord, let your word be alive to us, God. Lord, let it pierce our heart. God, touch us. God, cause us to walk uprightly before you, God, led by thy spirit. God, thank you for that resurrected life that we have only in you. We ask it in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet this morning.